Sahana Bhavatu, Sahanao Bhunaktu, Saha Viryankaravavahai, Tejasvinavarhitamastamavidvishavahai, Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay. Prahlad Maharaj was offered all the... Okay, page 111. Prahlad Maharaj was offered all the blessings of an opulent position in the material world, and even liberation emerging into Brahman. But he refused all this. He simply wanted to engage in the service of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Therefore, Bali Maharaj said that because his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, had rejected the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in terms of material opulence and liberation from material bondage, he truly understood his self-interest. Right? Because that's the real point. We are in the material world. So we always have to remember. So this is not where our self-interest is. Though, we're by practice and habit, this is where we've always applied ourselves to our betterment. But in reality, it's in the spiritual world. Therefore, anything that will keep one here, that's not what you're doing. So you just make a situation that is comfortable enough to perform your service. So depending upon your conditioning, nature, the position, then one applies that principle. And you make it so it's comfortable for performing devotional service, right? To whatever degree that is. If it's bigger, smaller, so more facility, less, it doesn't matter. It's just... what won't distract you from devotional service? So Bali Maharaj is saying, Prahlad Maharaj therefore understood his real self, right? While Indra doesn't, right? Because he's trying to get all this, what he's lost back, like this. That's the problem. It's not that the Lord doesn't take advantage of making some nice arrangement for the devotees by having a wonderful pastime. But the point is, Indra doesn't get the credit for this pastime. Bali Maharaj does. That's the whole point. The fact is, rather few pastimes where Indra gets the credit. Right? He didn't get the credit in Vritrasura. He didn't get the credit in Govardhan Leela. So it's pointing out is that the position can distract you. That's the idea.
Vishwarupa also,
yeah, that one really didn't work out good. having to live inside a lotus stem, it's kind of like, all can't move, like that. Maybe quite a big one, yes. Well, if he'd gone to Plakshadweep, now that one would have been very big, but he didn't. He went to Manasarovar. So.
So we see in many instances, the Lord offers his devotee first something, like material, like bhakti or even mukti.
Right.
And then this process is going on. Is that for the pastime? He wants to see what's the level of the devotee, or why is he doing like that?
One, you can say it's a test of the devotee, but actually the Lord already knows. So therefore, it's to show the glory of the devotee, that the devotee is only interested in devotional service. Right? Because then we get, because the Lord knows, but then we get to know. We get to know. Because then we see how Prahlad Maharaj responds and everything. Bali Maharaj said, persons like us, who are still attached to material enjoyment, who are contaminated by the modes of material nature, and who lack the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot follow the supreme path of Prahlad Maharaj, the exalted devotee of the Lord. Footnote 36. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, in these five paragraphs, verses 23 to 26, pure devotional service is described. Right, so this is what pure devotional service. We're not interested in karma and jnana, right? And we see that the devotee, therefore, what karma and jnana he has is by the Lord's mercy, not by his previous material qualifications. Right? And so someone who's only working on material qualifications, that will distract them from devotional service. And for the pure devotee, then it won't distract them. Because it's given by the Lord, it's actually spiritual. That's why it doesn't distract them. Srila Prabhupada comments, it is said that for spiritual realization, one must follow great personalities like Lord Brahma, Devarshi Narada, Lord Shiva, and Prahlad Maharaj. The path of bhakti is not at all difficult if we follow in the footsteps of previous acharyas and authorities. But those who are too materially contaminated by the modes of material nature cannot follow them. Although Bali Maharaj was actually following the path of his grandfather, because of his great humility, he thought that he was not. It is characteristic of advanced Vaishnavas following the principles of bhakti that they think themselves ordinary human beings. This is not an artificial exhibition of humility. A Vaishnava sincerely thinks this way and therefore never admits his exalted position. Okay, so he actually thinks this way. So even though we see is that his pastime is brought out, so his grandfather is something great, all the demigods are there, you know, like that, Lakshmi's there, and then his position is so exalted, right? So then here we see again Bali Maharaj, then, you know, Sukhacharya's there, Indra, you know, Brihaspati are brought into this, but then he excels all of them. So then, again, you know, it's special. And the situations on both of them, they're very extreme. Right? Now, naturally, why would it be, why in these cases would it be natural that it's so extreme? Right? Because of the demoniac environments, it's all about sense gratification. So therefore, when something goes wrong, it's always extremely in the other direction. Right, so they have all facilities, so therefore if they want to bother you, then they make it as tough as possible. Right? Like that. And because of their devotional position, they don't get affected. Right? So that means we can also not be affected by the material environment. Right? It may affect us now, but we don't have to be. Right? So that's the actual position that the devotee, you know, may appreciate. It's not the liberation. It's not that there's no obstacles, right? It's that obstacles come, we don't get affected, right? And what's the point of not getting affected? Then we can do our service. Not that we don't get affected, so I'm not disturbed, so I'm happy. No, I'm not affected, therefore I render service to Krishna. Krishna being happy, that makes me happy. You understand? So it may be inspiring for the devotee on a lesser platform to make the endeavor, because they will be freed from all anxiety. But in actuality, that desire to be free from all anxiety is so that they can always be pleasing the Lord. Right? That's the beauty of bhakti, is that can accommodate having material desire up to no material desire. And it's not that the environment actually changes. Just the consciousness changes. You know, our experience, the effect changes. Yes.
Sometimes we see, like we discussed previously, the primary within the primary.
Yes.
So sometimes it's personal within the personal, and there is a conflict. For example, you know, we have our own service,
right?
You know, to the Lord,
right?
And then there is a personal relationship with some devotees.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, people need attention, but we are fixed. You know, we have our own schedule, so we can't give as much attention as
right.
they need or
right.
want,
right.
And then there's a conflict of interest.
Yeah. What you have to do is, ideally, minimum you give what they need. Maybe not what they want, but what they need.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So don't give less than that, because if they're included as part of the field. So the idea is that devotional, our duties means, what are our duties in that field?
Yeah.
So that will include these other individuals.
Yes.
So it's not just, okay, here's the service and that's that field and this is another field. No, the field is one big field. This may be a focus over here, a focus over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So you have to include. And then you also have to have the priorities.
Right.
That's why it said, what is it? When with the king, remember it went down the priorities?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So I think the first one was his life. Because if he's not alive, really hard to run a kingdom. Right? You know, and so unless you somehow or another connected with Corpse Bride or something, you can't do much, right? You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, therefore, you come down, and I think the next one was his wife. Right? Next was the wife. Then after that was the wealth. Right? Then it goes down in all these different things, because if you're alive, right, then he has his wife and he has his wealth, then he can recreate the rest of it. So the idea is that each one that's back is means as you go out, the first one's always the most important, and the second, third, fourth, up to seven limbs. So the idea is that if you lose the seventh, then with the other six, you can recreate it. And if you lose the sixth and seventh, with the other five, you can recreate it. You know, if nothing else, if you're just yourself, then you can recreate all the others. So that would mean then see that priority. So then if it comes down to, you know, generally in the modern, it's always the career and the occupation or money always takes precedent over everything else.
Right.
It does to a particular degree. But, you know, like I say, if it comes down to mowing the lawn or you know, making some business deal, then that's one thing. But if it comes down to, let's say, the family, and then you can't gain the money and lose the family.
Yeah.
So that way then you have to, that's the idea that Manu gives. So that will apply to anybody, right, in the performance of the duties. So you could always review that, and then you have to take that as all one thing. And so how much they deserve, that's what they have to get. And if they're always getting what they deserve, generally you'll see that people don't want more than what they need. Right? People want more than what they need because they haven't gotten.
Yeah, but they haven't gotten in different areas.
Yes, yes.
It's not connected to us.
No. But still, we have to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you get something, you get the whole thing that goes along with it. You know, when you buy the bottle of perfume, it comes in the fancy box, it has the tissue paper, it has the bag, it has the whole thing, it has, you know, like that. So it all goes together. Yeah. So that's the thing is that, but we do, if we're always giving that, then all these other things slowly will go down. Right? In other words, it's always coming from here and it goes out. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, if you're in the house, the family takes care, then if other relationships don't necessarily work, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, the friends at school aren't that great, or the teachers aren't that great, or, you know, something else, the guys at work aren't that great. Still at home, it's great. It still works. But if at home there's a problem, then naturally one looks outside for that, and then not getting there, it just continues the frustration. So if you can correct this, but it's long term. That's why it's always said this: if someone grows up in this ideal environment, then it's naturally going to make family life and everything work very easy. That's the whole idea of the Vedic, is all these rules are in place so that someone has the proper attitude that when they get to family life, it makes it very easy. But if that hasn't happened, you can still correct it by proper dealings in family life. It's just going to take a little bit longer, more humility, more tolerance, more respect for others, more not expecting for yourself, and being more Krishna conscious.
This is the ultimate solution.
Yes. So
if nothing else works,
that
we invested into that.
Yeah. So then it'll work. Then it'll work. And but it takes time. Yeah, and expect it years.
Years.
If somebody has more need than they actually should be there, yeah, you can look at years. Means if it's there, then within, you know, I'm saying probably within 6 months you'll get a response. But for it to be on all situations to go away, it'll take years. Because generally any new situation, it takes 2 years for it to become normal. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, let's say, I noticed with the kids that are in, when they come to the school, the first year then they adjust to the school, the program and everything like that, and basically it's that program they are. But mentally, they're not fully adjusted for 2 years. Once they've been there for 2 years, then they feel they've been there forever.
does that make sense?
And so then at that point, then it becomes normal. So.
But then we see for the adults, it might take
a longer. It might take longer because there's more baggage. So then much of the time you'll see 3 years or more like that, you know. Then you, but the point is it can be done. And it is improving. It just means that there's something, in other words, it'll be pretty much done, but there's some particular case or something severe, then you might see something pop up. Right? And then you deal with it nicely, that goes down, then that means it's another major obstacle, and then eventually it goes away. Like that. So it's just the whole thing has to be. And then that's the maturity, is to be able to see something in its completeness. How you say? At the beginning of class, then it was the personal situation, and now it's the sharing is caring situation.
Yeah. Still good.
Okay, Sukadeva Goswami continued. My dear King, how shall I glorify the character of Bali Maharaj, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of the Three Worlds, who is most compassionate to his own devotee, stands with club in hand at Bali Maharaj's door. When Ravana, the powerful demon, came to gain victory over Bali Maharaj, Vamanadeva kicked him a distance of 80,000 miles with his big toe. Right? Not even his whole foot, just kind of... I shall explain the character and activities of Bali Maharaj later in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Beneath the planet known as Sutala is another planet called Talatala. Right? Because he has certain questions that are there, they have their natural run. So then once that's there, there's no other, then he'll get around to Bali Maharaj. You know, the more details, because it's a pastime worth getting into details.
Reminds of our quote.
Yeah, it takes a while. Yeah. Beneath the planet known as Sutala is another planet called Talatala, which is ruled by the Danava demon named Maya. Right. So Maya Danava, he's a Danava. Right, you have the Daityas and the Danavas. Mm-hmm. So he's in the Danava line, and his name is Maya. Like that. Maya is known as the Acharya, master of all the Mayavis, who can invoke the powers of sorcery. Okay. For the benefit of the three worlds, so that means he's really good at sorcery and stuff like that. For the benefit of the three worlds, Lord Shiva, who is known as Tripurari, once set fire to the three kingdoms of Maya, but later, being pleased with him, he returned his kingdom. Since that time, Maya Danava has been protected by Lord Shiva, and therefore he falsely thinks that he need not fear the Sudarshan Chakra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Because he's not a devotee, so he doesn't know about the supremacy of the Lord. He may respect him as a powerful deity, but he doesn't actually know the limit of Shiva's power and the unlimitedness of Krishna's power. Yes?
Maya Danava is opposed to
a post? You never know. Most likely, if it's always like this is always like that, it's probably opposed, just like Indra.
And
Bali Maharaj? He generally seems to be a person.
A lot of.
Yeah. So it's not opposed. These are devotees. Means these other things, they're positioned, so then they'll be... So a lot of times, then they live for a very long time, so it's not a problem. Yes, but it appears that he'll still be living there, so... At least for us, for now, it's good, because he'll be there for the next... what are we, 28, and we have 72 to go, 72 total, so that means 68, 58... And 50. So there's another 50 Mahayugas, so it'll work. But some are, they'll always be a, how you say, a Marichi. They'll always be a Daksha. They'll always be So that means every time there may be a different jiva. But Narad Muni, that's always the same person. Shiva is always the same.
And sages, they are different. They change the sages.
Means you have somebody who's done that philosophy, so after that's done, you don't necessarily have to have one again. But someone will be that sage who propounds that philosophy. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, so because all these different, like the six systems, then there always has to be a Gotama, there always has to be a Vaisheshika, like that. And then once it's there, it's established, it's done. But things that are a managerial post, then that just turns over. So Indra is the post. Then Indra himself is a particular individual, and he has a specific name.
And sub-places like Vasistha and
Indra. I think those, at least some of them, then they're permanent. Vasistha is the son of Brahma, so the other ones, whether they change or not, I'm not sure.
There's different lists of the seven different things from prior to the cult of Veda.
Okay, yeah, so maybe they change. But Vasistha, in any case, whether he's a Saptarishi or not, will always be around, because he's the son of Brahma, so he's not going anywhere. So in other words, in the universe there's certain things that have to be established, so then the Vedas talk about these things. So they're always there. So that always, like, there'll always be a Saraswati River, there'll always be a Ganga, there'll always be, because the Vedas already talk about these things. How they manifest, when they that will be the uniqueness. You know, like how tall Vamanadev was might be different, what kind of umbrella he was carrying. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Yes. Yeah, because that's the pastime. So it's eternal, so it just always is coming around. Like Prabhupada said, the traveling road show. You know, the road show is always moving, so it's going from place to place and doing the show, but it's the same show, same people, everything. So it'll come around again. The planetary system below Talatala is Mahatala. It is the abode of many hooded snakes, descendants of Kadru, who are always very angry. The great snakes who are prominent are Kuhaka, Takshaka, Kaliya, and Shushena.
That's the
Kaliya,
you know?
Yes, that would be the Kaliya. The snakes in Mahatala are always disturbed by fear of Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu. But although they are full of anxiety, some of them nevertheless sport with their wives, children, friends, and relatives. Because right? Any time you could show up. Right? Mm-hmm. 27 to 29.
Right.
Yes.
So this is the lower class, because before that, above them, there were no anxiety for them except the color factor, which they don't even think about.
Yes, because, but what's the difference? The other is Kala Chakra. Who sends the Kala Chakra? Yeah, so you do exactly what you do, then nothing's there. Garuda is an individual. He does what he likes.
That person. Very personal.
Yeah, so therefore.
And they're on the menu.
Yeah, they're on the menu. What's on the menu today? Snakes, okay. I like it. Right, so there's always variety in the menu, right?
Snakes are very fearful. People are scared of snakes. Their mentality is that they're very afraid.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very afraid. Well, that's why they get angry in that, because they're worried about their position. So they're worried you're going to bother their position, so that's why they get angry so easily. Like that. I mean, they don't have any hands or feet. You know, they always have to crawl around on the ground. It's not exactly an ideal situation.
So what's heaven got?
It's nice facilities. The same thing. There's no days and nights and everything's... They have nice facilities. They gave all the nice facilities. It's just like here. You could die at any minute, but we know, we go on and think everything's great.
That's
weird. Yeah, so they're, for them it's the same thing. They have better facilities, so the same thing happens. but you know, probably any flutter of the wind, and they all look and see if that was Garuda. So. Yeah, yeah, they, especially Samaved, and they're worried. Well, maybe that's why, because Samaved is chanted at, for the funeral ceremony and certain things. So maybe that's why Garuda then, when he flaps his wings, and the Samaveda, because it's going to be someone's funeral ceremony. In his purport to verse 29, Srila Prabhupada comments, "This is the way of material life. Even if one lives in the most abominable condition, he still thinks himself happy with his wife, children, friends, and relatives." Says the point is, they think themselves happy, even though at any moment Garuda may drop in.
That's Maya's job.
That's Maya's job. And she's good at her job. Right? That's why she's been permanently hired.
Right?
No, she's eternal. So. She's eternal, her husband's eternal, so there's not. So Sadashiv and you know, Parvati, they're eternal. That's not. They don't have any problem. They may have manifestation within the universe if they'll extend and then withdraw, just like the others. Then they'll expand and then not. But that position's always there.
Well, Sadashiva, you consider him an expansion of Mahavishnu, or just another form?
No, it's a transformation. Just like Mahamaya is a transformation of Yogamaya, so Sadashiva is a transformation of Vishnu. So he's non-different, but different all the same. In other words, Vishnu can transform to Shiva, but not the other way around. That's the point. Milk can turn into yogurt, but yogurt can't turn back into milk. Right? So as he expands, then she's expanding. You know, so that's the uniqueness we never got that word. Rupa Goswami mentions that in Balaram, there's a mood that means he can deal with the material energy. Like that. And so then that gets carried down to Mahanarayan, down to Sankarshan, and then down to Mahavishnu. So that mood then is fully, its full form would be Sadashiva. Yes. So that means that's that aspect that would be there. And so then that means his internal potency then takes on that form, the external potency. Because it's always all there. It's just that then this part, then it manifests. Does that make sense? Sukadeva Goswami continued, beneath Mahatala is the planetary system known as Rasatala, which is the abode of the demoniac sons of Diti and Danu. They are called Panis, Nivatakavachas, Kaleyas, and Hiranyapuravasis, those living in Hiranyapura. They are all enemies of the demigods, and they reside in holes like snakes. From birth, they are extremely powerful and cruel, and although they are proud of their strength, they are always defeated by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who rules all the planetary systems. When a female messenger from Indra named Sarama chants a particular curse, the serpentine demons of Rasasala become very afraid of Indra. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "These are all different types of demons. They are enemies, pratyantika, of Indra. They become frightened by the words of a mantra recited by a messenger of Indra. There is a Vedic story about this. The Panis desired compromise with the dog sent by Indra named Sharama, who was looking for a cow hidden by those demons. They said, 'Oh, Sharama, what do you want?' Not wanting peace, the dog spoke roughly to them while praising Indra. 'O Panis, you will be killed by Indra. Flee.' Hearing these words, they became afraid." I think this Sharama, this is that pastime where her son was at a sacrifice. And and, you know, he's one of the, I say, dogs of the heavenly planet. He was just there, but because dogs here, you always have to watch out that they're going to do something stupid. So they shooed him away, or beat him, or like this. So he went back to his mother, and then there was the whole complaint. So he said, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't try to lick the ghee. I didn't, you know, do anything that I shouldn't have. So why are they, and then she, I forget who she went to, but it was a big thing, you know, that she went to somebody big, you know, why is this happening? They need to be punished. Right? So she seems to feature in a few places, this Sarama.
Heavenly dog.
Heavenly dog. That's why I can't remember. It was whoever was doing the sacrifice. Something had to, there was some compromise had to be worked out.
Sent to for the cows.
Yeah. Well, you know, dogs go out and round up the cows. Right?
Things out,
yeah, yeah, sniffing things out. Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami concluded, beneath Rasatala is another planetary system known as Patala or Nagaloka, where there are many demoniac serpents. The masters of Nagaloka, such as Shanka, Kulika, Mahashanka, Sveta, Dhananjaya, Dhritarashtra, Shankachuda, Kambala, Ashvatara, and Devadatta. The chief among them is Vasuki. They are all extremely angry. The last ones, how are they? They're always very angry. So that's the ones on Talatala. But the ones on Patala, they are extremely angry. It appears so. It says Nagaloka, or known as Nagaloka, Patala or Nagaloka.
So they're extremely angry at each other?
No, they're just angry in general, the snakes. It doesn't necessarily mean with each other, but if anybody walks by, then they got a problem. Never seen, sometimes there's maybe a family or a community, they're always angry. It's not necessarily with each other, they're always on the edge, and if something happens, and you've seen some of those. Okay. Oh, I get. I see. They're either on the other side of a particular river or the other side of a particular wall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Plenty of them.
Huh?
Plenty.
Yes. Yeah, so the principle is the same, is that someone maybe, that doesn't mean that they have a problem with each other. It's just that anything outside of themselves will provoke anger. So you don't want to disturb. Yes.
So anger comes from frustration.
Yes.
So why are they so frustrated?
No arms and no legs. I think it's just the nature, by the modes, they're always angry. Snakes by nature are just angry. It's because of the poison. Because anger comes from passion, you know, which is fire. And so the poison is fire, so that always will make them, you know, they have a fiery temperament. That's why when the snakes, they get older, their poison gets more, they get more proud. Right, and that way they're mentality-wise more dangerous, like that, you know, because of volume. The quality of poison is more in the baby snakes. You think because it's a baby snake, it doesn't matter. The poison is actually more powerful,
yeah.
But the volume is very small. But for the adult snakes, then the older they get, the more volume they have. So then, you know, that's it.
The problem is that the how we are being fucked up by the volume of poison.
Yes, like that. So they become very, you know, it's like a yogi in his mystic powers from his tapasya. So they become very proud. Like Durvasa, he became proud of his yoga prowess. And he thought Ambarish was just the king. So he didn't know about devotional service. So on the material platform, he's the yogi, he has great power, and he's a Brahmin. Well, then Ambarish is a king, though he's an emperor. Right? So you're supposed to be careful with emperors. You don't treat them like regular kings. But in any case, he didn't understand the transcendental position of devotional service. So then he made that mistake. You know, same with Kaliya. Okay, he comes and he sees a nice lake in a nice place. Great, but don't make sure it's not in the Lord's Dom where his associates are. You know, make sure it's out somewhere else, like in Madras or something. You know, like that. You know, check out the Thames. Boldly. Mississippi. Now that, yeah, that would work. Down in the bayou, right? You know, Kalia down in the bayou. I could see that. I could see that. And then you could eat all the locals, all the Cajuns down there, right? Any Cajun comes through, he eats them. Right? Now that would be a story to, you know, put out. You know? Sorry? If they could, they probably would, yeah. And they have many, many hoods. Some snakes have 5 hoods, some 7, some 10, others 100, and others 1,000. Those hoods are bedecked with valuable gems, and the light emanating from the gems illuminates their entire planetary system of Bilaswar. Right? So even though the snakes are on the bottom one and the second from the bottom one, then the jewels from their hoods light the whole place. Because the tallest down there are only 10,000 yojanas wide. So anything that goes out, then, you know, naturally the whole place can get. If they were big like the other, then it wouldn't get it. But it's dark from the sun because Bhumandala goes across the whole way, all the way out to past Loka Loka. So it means the sun is blocked by Loka Loka. So that means the gap between the edge of Bhumandala and the universe, there's no light there to go around anyway. So it all below there is all created by the Nagas. So then, pretty amazing, huh? Light coming from jewels on the head of snakes. Right? There are some that do, so they must have those. Like Suryakanta and these, they produce light. Otherwise, others reflect light. But like in palaces, they used to put those kind of light, those kind of jewels. If you had those, they wouldn't even need lamps. You just put the lamps from kind of the ambience. But otherwise, you use jewels, they'll reflect the light and therefore make it more. So you use regular lamps and regular jewels that reflect. So you a lot of jewels. But otherwise, you do hear sometimes of palaces that they have those ones that make their own light, and so that's what makes the light at night. You know, so in the day it doesn't matter because the sun's out. But at night, as it goes dark, then you have that, the exit sign. It's got tritium in it. So it always glows, but in the day you don't notice it, but when it gets dark, then you see it. In that way, yes, but it's just like...
Because if they are not there, there isn't, right?
No, well then there'd be something else. There'd be like raccoons with jewels on their heads or porcupines or something. I say. You know, there'd be something. Point is, it's just Krishna worked it out this way, so it's quite unique. Who is in between? Maya was in between. No, those demons were in between. Maya is just above them. So Patala, there was the big snakes. You know, it seems to be the most senior, like that. No, there also, but it seems there's big snakes there, like that. Because like Dhritarashtra, it mentions, it says Dhritarashtra, because he's one of the really senior snakes, when he goes out, 28,000 assistants go with him. One of you just goes for a walk, like that. They can also walk if they want, you know, they take on that in the human form. Like when Bhima came, then the snakes were there, and there was one snake who was the minister. And so like when Ulupi, she's a Naga, right? And but she takes a human form. And then when Bhima also came down, because I think that was earlier. That's how it was.
The poisonous cake.
Yes. So then when he went down there, then one of the snakes there, he says, well, actually, he's related. So I don't know if that means in the future because of Arjuna or in the past because of something. But in any case, he's related. But he was in human form. So they would interact with Bhima in a human form. Though their natural form is that of a snake, so they can take because they have they're heavenly snakes, so they have mystic powers, so they can take whatever form they like.
Maharaj,
concept on the carving for all pictures where the picture is like human upper half and a serpent on lower half. Is that just to get the idea?
Yeah, just to get the idea so that you know who's who. But it's just some way to that you know they're nagas. Otherwise, in the carving, how do you know they're not nagas? Yeah, so it'd be stuck. You know, not that they couldn't do that also if they wanted.
Between the two levels of snakes was the demons.
Yeah, with his demons, all the Nivatakavachas and that. Then was Maya. Right?
Maya was above before the first level of snakes.
Yeah, he was the one above that. So he's in the fourth from the bottom. Then Sutala was his Bali Mars, the fifth from the bottom.
Yeah.
Then sixth from the bottom. I don't remember who was there. Huh? Lord Shiva, yes. And then above that was all the strange girls.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was that who was that? Maya, it was Maya's son.
Bala,
Maya's son.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, not satisfied with eight mystic cities, has to have 69. 96. 96. I thought it said 69. So, oh, the other. There's no place that it said 69. I said 69. But it was actually written 96. Really? Wow. That is. Huh? Yeah, he lost out on a few of that. What did it say about the demon? Hey, where does it say that?
106.
The large paragraph at the bottom, it's about the third line from the top.
Third line from the top. Okay, the 96. How did I? Oh, okay. So it's just the dyslexia. Yeah, just a because you can say 69. Huh? That's weird. I was thinking, why 69? You know, why? What's the significance? It's 96. Because that I think is more divisible by. I'm not sure, but I think.
Eight.
12 eighths is 96. So that means he's the subdivisions of each one, most likely. Well, 69 doesn't match that. That's why I was thinking it's weird why 96, because it doesn't match 8. You know, matches 3, but it doesn't match 8. Okay. Okay. Okay, so that illuminates the whole thing underneath. So everything below, the whole Bilaswarg is illuminated by them. Right? So then you'll always have that pleasant light, whatever it is. Day and night, there's no day and night as such. It seems, I guess, when they're tired, but you don't really have as such a regulated system like that. You do whatever you like, when you like. So there's probably some system there so that it works nicely, but that they don't get the effect of days going by, so you've lost a day and you're a day older, you know, that kind of, so there's no years, there's no, you don't count like that. You just, you know, you're born, you grow up to maturity very quickly, and then you stay like that until you die, you know, so no one really looks at time. Otherwise, there is no time down there. Yeah.
And no seasonal changes. Also.
Yeah, must be no seasonal changes. Nothing. It's always the same. So it must be always pleasant, nice, and that's it. You know, it's like on the right on the equator. There's no temperature change. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it'd be like that. Also, there's no change in the day. You know. So it's a nice situation. So you really have to be materialistic to not get bored. That's probably why they demand more facility, because otherwise they get bored. Yeah. It's interesting how half the universe works in one way and half works in another. Very different, you know, just mood and flavor. So everybody gets their chance, right? So then, so that they even lived in holes, right?
Yeah,
the Nevada cottages and all that, they all lived in holes.
The whole place is like big caves.
So it's all like Hobbiton. Just they don't have curly hair on their toes, right? They don't have toes, yeah. Okay. Oh, I see. The hobbits came in, made the place, then they came along, moved in, ate the hobbits, and then took over, like they do here. The rats make the hole, snake comes in, eats the rat, then has a house. Okay. Yeah, maybe like that. Just have to kick out Smaug and you're good. Right?
You can continue the movie.
Yeah. Well, Smaug means that's the... it's said that the concept of dragons, it's actually Nagas. The concept of dragons comes from Nagas.
Oh, Nagas, yes.
Yeah.
It looks like he's a dragon.
Yeah.
But it looks like a dragon.
Yeah, but they're snakes.
Flying snakes.
Yeah.
Poisonous like fire.
Yeah, like that. But they can fly.
Hairy?
No, I've never heard of them being hairy. They always have scales. They're snakes. But like the cobras, when I forget how old it is. I think when they reach 1,000 or something, then the poison that, then they grow wings. They become snake birds. I'm not sure. Just if they reach 1,000, they grow wings. No, they just become a big old cobra with wings that can fly around. Yeah, but it'll be those kind of wings. It's not feather wings. It'll be like bat wings, that kind of wings.
Yeah,
like
that.
That kind of wings. And they can fly, so you don't want to mess with those guys. Oh, it'll be just stuff handed down. Like Noah's Ark. It's our Manu. No, it's the previous Manu. It's Chakshusha. I think it's the sixth one. Yeah. So it's just these stories come down. They're there, but no one knows where they are, so they get kind of out of hand. Yeah. No.
Rasatala planet is the last one in the heavenly planet.
Rasatala.
Rasatala is the last planet.
No, Patala would be the last one. The Atala at the top, Patala at the bottom.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah, so you have Patala, then what was it? Patala, Rasatala, Mahatala, Talatala, Sutala, Vitala, that's the one Shiva, and Atala. Like that. So like that. So Patala is the bottom, Atala is the top. So sometimes they refer to them as Patala, that means all of those, or they'll say Atala, and then it means all that way. So either way.
Okay.
A plate. Yeah. So Bhumandala on down, those are all plates. And then above Bhumandala, those are all planets. Planets as such, meaning that they're not plates. I guess they're round. I doubt that they're, what is it? 8-sided squares or stuff. Yeah, they're probably round. But here it affects, but they're all called planets.
Yes.
Because planet also defines your sphere of perception and influence.
Loka.
Yeah. So that means it's loka. So it can be used either way. So easily if you say planet, then people get the idea. You say flat thing that's there with people all living on. What do you mean flat thing? Then so just say planet, everybody's good.
Yeah.
So therefore, balancing plates is an old thing. Yes, because. We worked out the elephants that are on the so. So the elephants aren't under Bhumandala, they're on top of that loka. So if there's any shaking in that, then I guess they adjust around to create the balance.
Shift their weight.
Yeah, shift their weight a little bit. So if it goes this way, they shift. So they're big elephants.
They trumpeted. Not, yeah, that's what, you know, wanted to do something else. You wanted to come for a visit or something.
Stand on the back. I'll stand on the bowl. You know,
that's what we were joking before. They're all standing in balls, and it's going this way. They move over this way and lose that. Like that. Yeah. You know, but yeah. But they also sometimes then take the Ganga water and spray it, and then become so that.
And then we have the floods.
No. That's if you have a completely clear day, no clouds, and it rains. Then you know it's that water.
So it's auspicious.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so like a Divyasnan, but that's directly from the Ganga. Yeah. Well, Divyasnan simply means it's rain, but the sun's also shining, but there's clouds. So Divyasnan, there's clouds in the sky and the sun, and it's raining. But this is, there's no clouds and it's raining. So then you know that's from those elements. So they must be pretty big to be able to get the water from Loka Loka all the way over here.
Plus, it describes some of the parameters that on Loka Loka Mountain there are some sages in the cave as well, in different areas who stay there protecting the karma.
Okay. Good.
So, they're not alone.
And where is
Ananta Sesh. He's down on the bottom.
In the next chapter.
He's on the next chapter. We turn the page, and here he is. Well, turn two pages. Wait. Okay, important verses. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.24.22. The Supreme Personality of Godhead did not award his mercy to Bala Maharaj by giving him material happiness and opulence, for these make one forget loving service to the Lord. The result of material opulence is that one can no longer absorb his mind in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? So in other words, his mercy was giving him that pure devotion. And this just happened so to support his service, right? So that wasn't his actual mercy. I mean, says, of course, it's by the Lord's mercy he's gotten, but that wasn't actually the mercy. The mercy was getting pure devotion. Right? Srimad Bhagavatam 5.24.25. Bala Maharaj said, "My grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, is the only person who understood his own self-interest. Upon the death of Prahlad's father, Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrisimhadev wanted to offer Prahlad his father's kingdom and even wanted to grant him liberation from material bondage. But Prahlad accepted neither. Liberation and material opulence, he thought, are obstacles to devotional service. And therefore such gifts from the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not his actual mercy." Right, so that's the meaning that's supporting the previous one. Consequently, instead of accepting the results of karma and jnana, Prahlad Maharaj simply begged the Lord for engagement in the service of servant of his servant. Engagement in the service of his servant. Right? So that's the real mercy. So the opulence that comes, that's not the real mercy. That's to support the real mercy. Right? Yes. So I guess we can pray for it. When am I going to get the support for my for the real mercy?
Yeah. My Lord, I have the real mercy, but I have no support for it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
so now we see us here when it comes to opulence, because we're always talking about opulence, but we see that, that things go wrong in the heavenly planets. Right, obstacles come up now and again, basically from the lower planets, that they got more than everybody, but they want more than that, right? So then they come up and disturb. Right? That's probably also why the earth goes all the way across, because you have to be quite powerful to be able to come all the way around. Right? Like that. It's not just...
They have some paths.
That's true, yeah. The Nagas always go down through holes. In there. Okay. So that also makes them a little closer. Yeah, one of those, yeah. Also, Arjuna was taken down through one of those.
So, those who attack the gods like Nagas usually?
No, not necessarily. Like that, like Bali Maharaj is one of them, the Nivadakavachas, and what were the other ones there? That whole group, you always, Arjuna defeated two of them groups.
Yeah.
Like that, who was that?
Pani, Nivadakavachas, Kevimalayas, Hiranya.
Yeah, Hanranyapura, that was that, they were in that cities that were flying, I think that's at Tripura, I think they were in that, like that. So, they always come and just bother. You know, it's not enough to just stay down there, they got to come up and, you know, it's just like,
it's not enough to just be happy, stay in your neighborhood, enjoy your wealth. You have to go out and show it to everybody else, right? So, therefore, they have all this, they never remember the Lord. That's the important part. Because otherwise, the devotee may think, we've already discussed that we can get all the facility necessary by in our engaging it in the worship of the Lord. But the point is that's not the real mercy. The real mercy is the devotional service, because that facility can distract one. Because look at the demons. They never remember the Lord. The demigods, at least, you know, when there's a problem, they remember the Lord. But the demons, they don't have problems, they never remember the Lord. When they come up here, they have problems.
No, there.
Oh, down, that's just because, in other words, just like on the other planets, then Sudarshan comes to kill them, so when it's their time of their death, then Garuda comes and eats them. You know, so it's the same principle. I guess he does.
Regular meals.
yeah, regular meal. Comes down, you know, like that, says, you know, catches the one. What are you looking at? You're next on the list, right? You know what I'm saying? Okay. Sorry?
You know all those stories, fairy tales usually, that you have to feed somebody
No, but they all come from all these. But that's the problem. They only remember these parts. They don't remember the demigods and all those things and the higher things. And they only remember these lower. So in other words, they were somehow or another, either that's the only thing that's remained because of as they degrade, only the stories connected that are, you know, more the ignorance and those things than they remember those. You know, the more frightening, it creates fear, right? So fearing, eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing, so therefore it gives something. So they'll remember the thing about the princesses because of the, you know, mating, then they'll remember about the trolls and all those guys because of the defending part. You know, and eating, sleeping, they're not very, you know, good at anyway, you know. Some bread and some, you know, soup that they can dip the bread in, that's about it. Right?
Yeah. Wild boar.
Wild boar, yeah. Some wild boar. Yeah, exactly. Some Mogan David wine, So chapter 25, the glories of Lord Ananta, Pratigya. Lord Sankarsana is the ocean of unlimited spiritual qualities, and thus he is known as Ananta Dev. Right, so that's that his spiritual qualities are unlimited, so therefore he's known as Ananta. He is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the welfare of all living entities within this material world, he resides in his abode, restraining his anger and tolerance and intolerance. Right? Because he, of all of them, he's the number one. So we hear Vasuki is the number one. That's only because Ananta stepped out. He didn't like, because he is able to restrain his anger and intolerance, while they don't. You know, the bigger ones do more. Vasuki does more. But a lot of the other, they don't at all. So that's the thing. The farther down they go, then the less of these good qualities they have. So he didn't want to be associated with them. So he left them and took up the service of the Lord. But otherwise, he was the number one son. So Vasuki is number two. Right? Toxic is three. Yes. Like that. But he just saw how they behaved, so he just left for the forest to do meditation. And doing meditation, then I think he was approached by the Lord that, hey, I got a job for you, you know, to hold up the universe. So he said, okay, cool. Yes, the Shakti. So the one that's actually holding up Meru, that will be a Shakti Vesh. But the one that's with Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Kiradakshaya Vishnu, that's original. That's Vishnu Tattva.
The best thing.
Yes.
Was
means this one, the Shaktidesh. But the point is, the potency is the same. So you'll see when they discuss these things, they don't necessarily make a distinction between them.
Like that.
There's probably a bit more.
Quite a bit.
No, I mean in this universe.
in this universe, then he's with Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, he's with Kiradakshaya Vishnu. That's the Shaktidev. Which down?
He's supposed to be underneath the Kriyadhyas.
Okay. Very bottom of the universe. Half water. On top of that is Ananta Seif, Vishnu Tattva. On top of that is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Out of his navel then is coming the lotus stem that all the 14 planetary systems are in. So in there, the planetary systems on the bottom, the bottom eight, those are held up by Ananta Seif. That's the Shaktidev of the time. Like that. But at the same time as this whole thing with the lotus and all that, it seems that this also is quite a subtle thing also. Yes, right. Otherwise, how they come out of his navel?
Bigger than what?
Bigger than the 14 worlds.
And all the planets are big. To be situated on different parts of the body.
Yes. So there's, you have all these different things, like the universal form. They're all different all throughout. So it's not that you have the element that they're you know, you're starting at the tail and at the head and all this, but then when it starts talking about the eyes here and the breast here and then the arms and this and that, that's not according to necessarily where they're situated geographically. That's their function. Does that make sense? So you get both aspects, because we want it to all be geographic, and we can just say, okay, here's here and this is here. But you have that aspect and you have not that aspect. Right, because it's a porpoise, but it's also curled like a snake. You know, so you don't see porpoises that long.
I was reading one of the Puranas that describes how Varuna, his Vahana, is Sushumara. And when you find pictures of Varuna riding Sushumara, he's not exactly a dolphin. But he's got 4 feet, just like it's described, you know, the hairs all over his body and his ears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, they're because what do you say? Like Makara, what do you say?
Yeah.
So you have to say shark,
yes,
or crocodile.
That's a combination.
Elephant nose.
Yeah, because it's got an elephant nose, and you know, it's how you say. It would be like if you took a shark with an elephant nose and it had crocodile feet. So, and you don't see them around now. Not that they're not there. Just like the lions. There's those lions that have elephant noses. They're so big, they just catch elephants in their trunk and eat them. Yeah. They're huge. I mean, that they would freak people out. So they're not. Then Kali Yuga, you don't see them. So there's all kinds of things in Kali Yuga we don't get. You know, we just get chihuahuas and stuff like that. Yeah. Especially when there's someone's handbag, right? You know. You put that in a Louis Vuitton. Yeah. Who does that? Yes.
When this makes us
do they get any benefit? And he's like, do the family members get insurance, or, you know, what do you mean by benefit? The Lord, when he kills the demons, definitely they'll get something, because they're killed by him. What exactly, I haven't heard. But as it's mentioned that when the Pandavas go out in the forest and hunt, the animals they would kill would get liberated. So definitely. You know, because if you're that big of a demon that you're down there in a post, you know, there's not a whole lot farther you can go down in consciousness. Yeah. So then, yes, so I'm sure they would be.
Okay. Not the recommended sadhana.
No, I wouldn't go for that as a sadhana. Yeah. Pratigya of this chapter is taken from verse 6, is spoken by Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Chapter 25 summarizes questions and answers. Sukadeva Goswami asked Maharaj Prakrit question 513 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Question 513, Srimad Bhagavatam 525:15. My dear King,
I have thus described how great people generally act according to their different desires and as a result get different kinds of bodies in higher or lower planets. You inquired of these things from me, and I've explained to you whatever I have heard from authorities. What shall I speak of now? So in other words, all what he had asked up to this point, now it has been answered. Like this. So that then covers before. Of course, the first points by the sages, the six points by the sages, that would go for the whole Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. That's how you get. But from what has been asked up to now, the questions, then he has finished all that. So he's brought the Manus down to now, you know, the Prajapatis, he's explained the creation. Right, you know, like this. So all this has been discussed up to this point. So now it's a matter, okay, what further does one hear? Right. So now we'll see, like Bali Mars is the detail of this, Prahlad Mars is the detail of this previous, like that, you know. So.
Now the mythos, it appears that Sri Goswami is bringing all the different geographical locations and bringing it all back to the desires of the universe.
Yes, that's the whole point. That's what we gain. He's like this, you know, just myself, I can say, this time going through the fifth canto, the view is so much different. Before it's, fifth canto, it's all that geographic stuff in the universe, all that boring mathematics, you know. But actually, that was very minimal of actually the descriptions. It's all about these places are there, and according to what you do, you get these bodies, your desires are fulfilled according to the bodies and the places you put in. So according to your endeavor, that's what you get. What is it? What you did is what you get.
What you are is what you did.
Witty wig. Right? No, you ever heard of Wizzy Wig? No. Wizzy Wig was a big thing that what's on the computer screen is actually when you print it will be what you'll get. What you see is what you'll get when you print it. Because before it was what you saw on the screen had nothing to do with what will come out on the paper. Like that. So those early days of the computers were not very developed. Totally. Sorry? No, Dhritarashtra was on Patala. Dhritarashtra, this means the snake, not Dhritarashtra, meaning the son of, what's his name? No, but they always joke that his father, Vichitravirya, not him. Not Duryodhana's father. This is Dhritarashtra, he's one of the main snakes, celestial snakes. Maybe. They match. But the point is he's one of the big snake. He's one of the, you know, the top few, like that. So like I said, Ananta, but he left. Then Vasuki is the main. He's the head of the family. Then we have Takshika. Then Dhritarashtra is one of those main. So those ones that are mentioned there. These are all the very Kaliya. Kaliya is, I think, a little farther down. But Dhritarashtra is one of the very, you know, senior brothers. No, they're down there until, you know, the next Ananta down starts breathing fire, and then everything's gone. Well, after that, then they would be on the list of, you know, how you say. They would be on the list of tandoori. Yeah, that's it. You know, you just have to catch it at the right moment. You know? Huh?
Not too
poisoned. Yeah, not too roasted.
Not too charcoal.
Yeah. No, just enough, you know, you get that. Okay,
Agasura, he's something different to this. He's a demon who could transform.
Yes. He's an asura, but he—that's his shape that he naturally takes is that of a snake.
Yeah.
well, you know, Putana is that of the witch, and, you know, Baka is that of a, like this. Not that they can't take other forms, but that's their natural form. Okay. So these demons throughout the, you know, wherever they are, then they were all collected by Kamsa, and so they were all his friends. Okay. So Kamsa was very powerful.
There are schools, then I have been from the first Atala, where there's the 96 varieties of...
That, but even not, they just can just change shape at will, and I don't know what these 96 are. It'd be interesting. Who knows what it means to be able to, just by desire, make a vodka martini, or... I have no idea what it means. You know. Maybe somewhere else it'll explain what these are. You know, judging by the girls that he produced, then you probably don't want to know what these 96 are. You know, because in other words, he is of one group, so the girls from that group, then they'll only want to be involved with him. Then there's the ones that only want to be involved with those who are not from their group. Right? So then he gets advantage there. Then there's the ones that are constantly changing, so even if they're busy with someone else, it's just a matter of time, then he'll get his advantage. So, you know, it's not exactly, how you say, it wasn't designed for Krishna consciousness, let's say that. It was not there. That was not his purpose. Yeah, just by yawning. Right? You know, that's when he's bored. Imagine if he was enthusiastic.
Or it could be, I'm bored, I need something to do, so it manifests.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Okay. Maharaj Parikshit answers this question by asking his next question, 5:14, in the first verse of the next chapter. A few rhetorical questions uttered by Srila Sukadeva Goswami regarding the causeless mercy and fathomless glories of Lord Sesha in verses 9, 11, and 12 do not come under this study. Right? In other words, it would be another about, you know, who would not appreciate, who would not worship, who would not surrender like this. Adhyaya Prakashika. In this chapter, Sukadeva Goswami describes Ananta, the source of Lord Shiva. Lord Ananta, whose body is completely spiritual, resides at the root of the planet Patala, right? Because he's Ananta Sesha. So the Ananta is there. That means that all the, how you say, qualities, unlimited qualities of the Lord, the glories of the Lord, then are there. One, he has them, he describes them, he's known as Ananta. But he's also known as Sesha, because he's the last of the expansions of Vishnu Tattva. Like that. Because then from him expands Sadashiv. So this is technically where Shiva is expanding. So that, does that make sense? Lord Ananta, whose body is completely spiritual, resides at the root of the planet Patala. He always lives in the core of Lord Shiva's heart, and he helps him destroy the universe. Ananta instructs Lord Shiva how to destroy the cosmos, and thus he is sometimes called Tamasi, or one who is in the mode of darkness, because it's from him that this expansion has come. It's through him, his potency, that this the material creation is functioning. So that means there is that element. He's the one that's the closest to Thomas. Not that he's in the mode of ignorance, but he's the lord of the mode of ignorance. So that's why he's known sometimes as Thomasi. Right? He is the original deity of material consciousness. And because he attracts all living entities, he is sometimes known as Sankarsana. The entire material world is situated on the hoods of Lord Sankarsana. Right, so the entire material world, that means all the unlimited universes, they're all sitting on his head. Or within this universe, the whole thing is situated by being sitting on his head. Because it's also said that, it means we're talking about the ropes of wind, but it's also said that his unlimited heads are holding up all the different planets. That's how they are actually floating. And then they're tied to their orbit in that by the ropes of wind, just like the bulls are on the yoke. But they're still standing on the earth. So they're actually held up by Ananta Sesha. Like that. So he's holding everything up.
Full planet, from any system.
Yes, everywhere. So that's also his unlimited head. These are all, you know, these. That's the one thing with the Krishna you'll generally see, or Vishnu, you'll see that when they're talking on that aspect, it goes to a very standard kind of expansion or things like that. Yeah. But whenever it's talking about Balaram or Nityananda, Sankarsana, then it's just taking the whole range, and it could be talking anywhere. It doesn't actually talk in it any chronological order, you know, or any kind of order like that. They'll just go here and there and back and forth to bring out his glories. Because he has unlimited glories, so therefore, you know, blessed probably that's also in that mood, because you see, when they also come here, Nityananda is like an avatar. And he can follow everything very properly, but he can be an avatar. So it seems to be, it matches the mood, that it doesn't have to be in a specific order. You know, like Narayan or Ramachandra, or, you know, like that, that's always, it has the order like that. So, because he attracts everyone, he holds everything, he makes everything, so he's Sankarsana. So he's actually the origin of gravity. Right? You know, so they're definitely not going to buy that one. That the planet's held up by on a snake's head. Right? You know, not just one, you know, one snake, many heads. Right? So you have that to work in also.
How right? To make a moving model,
right? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. From his forehead, he transmits to Lord Shiva the power to destroy this material world. Because Lord Shiva is an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, many devotees offer him prayers, and in the planetary system of Patala, all the suras, asuras, Gandharva, Vidyadharas, and learned sages offer him their respectful obeisances. The Lord talks with them in a sweet voice. His bodily construction is completely spiritual and very, very beautiful. Anyone hears about him from a proper spiritual master becomes free from all material conceptions of life. The entire material energy is working according to the plans of Anantadev. Therefore, we should regard him as the root cause of the material creation. There is no end to his strength, and no one can fully describe him, even with countless mouths. Therefore, he is called Ananta, unlimited. Being very merciful towards all living entities, he has exhibited his spiritual body. Sukadeva Goswami describes the glories of Anantadev to Maharaj Purkit in this way. Shloka Anusharana, summary of verses, verses 1 to 15, the glories of Ananta. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said to Maharaj Purkit, "My dear king, approximately 240 million miles beneath the planet Patala lives another incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the expansion of Lord Vishnu, known as Lord Ananta or Lord Sankarsana."
Yes.
Yes. That I know of, they're above Ananta, because I know, though, you can see Ananta from the hellish planets. But we'll find out, because that's the next chapter.
But that's interesting how it's going.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You can say where they're.
They're out to one side. He's right in the center.
He's right in the center. They're out to one side.
They're just above Gravitapur. He's just above Gravitapur in the center.
Yeah. So he's in the center below, and they're on the side below.
Southern side.
Southern side. Oh, Yama's side. So they're a side dish, you can say. If it's up to the Yamadutas, they will probably toss them off Patala and then let them land down there and then come down, you know, at their own leisure and pick them up. But yeah, I'm not sure exactly how it works. We'll hear about it like that, you know, probably in more detail than we care to hear about. And there's that picture of Prabhupada when he got the fifth canto. He's looking at the pictures of the hellish planets. He's got a big grin on his face. He is the expansion of Lord Vishnu, known as Lord Ananta or Lord Sankarsana. He is always in the transcendental position. Because he is worshipped by Lord Shiva, the deity of Tamaguna, or darkness. He is sometimes called Tamasi. Lord Ananta is the predominating deity of the material mode of ignorance, as well as false ego of all conditioned souls, because that comes from there. Shiva is the incarnation to manage it, but it's actually coming from Ananta, who is Sankarsana. Like that. Because that's where the identity comes in. The point is that aspect is always the Vishnu. It means he may be the empowered Jiva, but he's empowered with this aspect of the Lord. So you don't make the distinction. Is that? Yeah.
No, sometimes we can use the name Ananta Sankarsan Shiva in the same meaning.
Because it's all the same line. It's all the same line. Just you would say as Ananta would be the end of the line, whereas Vishnu Tattva, Shiva would be then the end of the line, but that's Shiva Tattva.
Yes.
You know, and then there's expansion of him,
yes.
Then there's Rudra in the particular universe.
Yes. Yes.
Like that. So you get all these. So there's a non-difference there, but there's a difference.
Yes.
So that's why you can explain him, because that potency is coming from him. It's just how it manifests is another.
Yes. The same type of activity.
Yes, same, because the same expression of the same potency. It's just that who's applying it, that's all. When a conditioned living being thinks, I am the enjoyer and this world is meant to be enjoyed by me, this conception of life is dictated to him by Sankarsana. Thus, the mundane conditioned soul thinks himself the Supreme Lord. Verse 1, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, Ananta is called Tamasi because he is the supervisor of destruction, an activity of tamas, but he is not a form composed of tamas. Right? He's the supervisor of that. So it's not even necessarily he's the main one. Shiva is the one who carries it out. Right? This would be a contradiction to the later statement in this chapter, Murtim na puru kripaya Babhara Satvam Samshudham. Out of causeless mercy towards his devotees, he exhibits various forms, which are all transcendental. Right? So even the position of Ananta is holding up the particular, you know, all the planetary systems, he's still transcendental. But yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam 5:25:10. Satvatiya refers to those persons who have faith in the Satvata Tantra. The Lord is called, you know, in other words, the Vaishnavas. The Lord is called Sankarsana because he draws the enjoyer and the objects of enjoyment, drashtri, drishyo, completely together. Right? So that's the point of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura. It says we're being drawn to the sense object, but we're being drawn by Sankarsana. We have that desire, so therefore this nose of the universal form is being drawn to this, you know, flower of the universal form through the potency of the particular fragrance of the universal form,
yes,
that is able to be applied by the mechanics of this nose of the universal form.
Yes.
You know, so who's actually smelling, who, you know, who's seeing who here? That's the whole, that's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's point, is that we're thinking, I think it's called Drig Drishya Vichar, the seer and the seen.
Mm-hmm.
But the real point is, who is the seer, who is the seen? The Lord is the, you know, the Lord is the seer, the Lord is the seen. We're just there coming along for the ride because that's what we want to be part of. You know, it's like going to the theme park and say, oh, I want to go on that ride. But you're not, you didn't make the ride, you don't make the ride function, you don't create the experience of the ride, none of that. Right? And the ride was there before you came there, the ride will be there after you go. Right? So that's the thing, is that we just go along, because we decide, oh, I want that, go along for that ride. So that's the thing, is we decide, I want to see in this way, or smell, or touch, taste, or touch in this way. So therefore we get those organs, you know, that are from the universal form, because he is smell, he is taste, so that all the varieties of noses and tongues and eyes that you can have to see and taste and touch and all those different ways, That's all part of the universal form. So we get that. But then what we're seeing in everything is also from that. So actually, then we're just, you know, it's just desire. I want to be part of that. So then we're
Yeah.
Yes. But we think we're doing, we'll say, oh, how is that? It's just like you have the small child. You know, the mother's carrying, and they point over there. I wanted to go there. But are they going there? No, the mom's going there. Right? But they'll think, I'm going around where I want to go. So he brings them together. In other words, by the modes, the Lord brings everyone together. And then we go through, and then I think I'm the controller and enjoyer. So this false concept comes from him. So the mentality comes from him, and then bringing them together comes from him. Right? So that aspect, the tamasi, that mode of ignorance, or that false ego that's coming from there, that aspect, or sankarshana, that aspect of the ego, at the same time as sankarshana, the drawing together. So he does both of those. So now if we connect, re-identify as servant of the Lord, that aspect of Sankarshan, then we're drawn together with the activities and of devotional service. So that's why then it's by the mercy of Lord Nityananda that we get either an intent, we're either involved or we're freed from the material. Then we can take part in Krishna's pastimes.
Integration and disintegration.
Yes, integration and disintegration. Yes. Yes.
So then if they're not trying to enjoy
No, you're may be using the spiritual aspects, but you're still using the facilities of the universal form. Yeah, like that. Because the point is you're using spiritual intelligence, or the senses become spiritualized. So you're using the spiritual, but they're being manifest through the what you have here. So they both can go on at once. That's the things we need to be able to catch, the subtlety of two things happening at once. You know. Okay. Did we get through? Okay. The devotees meditate upon Sankarsana as the presiding deity of Ahankara, and in order to become purified of the false conception of I and mine. So this is the aspect for us as the Dvaita Charya. Like that. But otherwise, Sankarsana is just so... So is that potency that Lord Shiva has to keep us in ignorance, that comes from Sankarsana. Right. The stories are means at this end. But it's ultimately all Nityananda. It's all Balaram. Right? But, you know, it's just the specific mechanics, then he'll take it at a specific place. So we can say so our worship of Sankarsana means in this case, with a false ego, worship of Advaita Charya, right? And therefore, to not have any material attraction or attachment anymore, that would be Nityananda. Because he's the one that attracts us, or like this. But the false ego then will be that next one down. But he's the Lord of it still. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema Nandini.